Friday morning. Welcome in. It is your overnight oasis. Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan, taking you up until 5 o'clock, at which time it is the warm-up show that comes your way with Al and Jerry. Number, of course, you know, 888-808-1019. How's everybody feeling? How's everybody doing? You know what you didn't realize? I didn't realize. Apparently, there has been some sort of law change that when there's snow, there are no more driving rules. No laws. I guess they just kind of become suggestions. That's why the lines in the road, they're dotted. They're not solid lines. They're dotted lines. They're optional. Trying to get here tonight. Again, I would like to find the grave of the person who designed the Holland Tunnel and do terrible things to the person's last resting place. Whoever designed that tunnel, had they ever designed a tunnel before? Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have the incoming traffic in the tunnel be backed up by the outgoing traffic of the tunnel. And the outgoing traffic of the tunnel will be backed up. You know what? When you get through one of the busiest tunnels in the entire country, you know what would be really good for when people finally get through this congested tunnel? A series of traffic lights. Who designed this stupid thing? So tonight I'm trying to get here, and I'm coming. I don't even know what road it is. I come out, and I'm coming up here towards the station, the studio. And the traffic getting into the tunnel, don't block the box. People were parked in the box. They're just, red lights come, red lights go. No traffic was moving into the tunnel. But that did not stop people from saying, you know what? When it does start moving, I'm going to be the first one in. Unbelievable. Oh, the traffic was absolutely atrocious. But, you know, look, it's easy to focus on the negative sometime. You know, and look, New Year's resolutions are kind of done after the first couple of weeks of the new year. But one of my New Year's resolutions, I always try to focus on when that ball drops and the new year starts, is trying to focus on what's good in life. Appreciation. Right? Gratitude. Gratitude is such an underrated emotion. If you don't have gratitude, you can't lead a happy life. You need to have gratitude. So look, sometimes in life, it's hard to recognize it in real time, but that's why I'm here, to help you recognize it in real time. That we are witnessing right now real genius. And so often, genius is not appreciated in its time. Van Gogh, great famous painter now, never sold an actual painting in his life, not while he was alive. Wasn't until much later, cut off the ear, and then all of a sudden became the hot thing. That was apparently the key. But you have to recognize greatness in it, and sometimes it's hard to recognize it. Sometimes it's hard to appreciate it. Life gets in the way, right? A lot of things going on. And it's not until years later you appreciate it. I got to say, for any of us who are in the content creation business, the run that the New York Jets are on right now has been a legendary, legendary run. This is Oral Hershiser in 88. This is Barry Bonds in 2001. This is Linsanity. But it's not 15 days, it's been 15 years of this. And the worst thing you can say with the New York Jets is, it can't get any worse. Never say that. I don't believe in karma, I don't believe in hexes or those kind of things. But there is absolutely sports karma if you're a Jet fan and you think to yourself, you know what, can't get any worse than this. It's incredible. There should be no way that a team this bad continues to be a hot topic as often as it is. I mention it all the time. The content tree that is the New York Jets, you go out one day, you pick all the fruit, you figure, all right, that's going to be it for a while. You go to bed, you wake up the next day, there's new content. The Jets figure out a way. Against all odds, they figure out a way. So this week, it's been the scouting combine. right? The NFL offseason is here. Free agency is really right around the corner. The draft is not that far. I think it's, what is it, 50 days away? Something like that. The spring, doesn't feel like it, is just around the corner. But it's the scouting combine this week. And I've said this many times before. It's 100% true. Nobody can debate it. Nobody can dispute it. When you're a fan of a bad organization, a bad football team, this is the time of year you look forward to. This is the time of year. As bad a year as you've been through, you get some time. The bad memories of the season kind of fade a little bit. You get into the offseason, and you start to delude yourself because you love football. It's probably your number one sport, and you just want to enjoy yourself on NFL Sunday. You see all these other fan bases enjoying themselves. You want to be part of that group. I get it. Back when I was a Dolphin fan, I got it. So this is the time of year where you would think as a Jet fan, all right, we got the draft, we got free agency, we got some things going, we'll make some trades. It can't get any worse. The wrong thing to say. So this week it's been the scouting combine. And you would figure, how can the Jets, of all teams, make news out of the scouting combine? I just want to focus on the draft. The Jets have all these draft picks. We're going to find all these solutions to the team. We're going to start build up a defense. Aaron Glenn's going to call plays. The building of this organization, brick by brick, step by step, it's going to begin this offseason. But then the other day, you finally get to hear Aaron Glenn talk. And I don't remember who brought it up. Maybe it was on Evan and Tiki that brought it up first. But the idea that Aaron Glenn was speaking at the same time as John Harbaugh almost as a way to hide Aaron Glenn so there would be no bad news coming out of his media session. But sure enough, even though there's really nothing that Aaron Glenn can say, nobody's going to believe anything he says in a positive way because it's been that bad. And he did, I would think, for the most part, a fairly good job of kind of explaining things the best he can. Again, it's a really bad situation. When you lose and look as bad as the Jets looked last year, which again, for a 15-year run, as bad as it's been, you could make the argument last year was the low point. So nobody's going to really believe anything that Aaron Glenn has to say in a positive light until you start to see some results. And maybe 95% of what he said was fine. But then he had to go into the whole thing about, I got all these things wrong, but now I'm going to be calling plays, and calling plays is my superpower. Why would you say that? Why would you think that that would be a good thing to say? It just becomes something else to poke fun at the New York Jets about, and rightfully so. It's a dumb thing to say when you're coming off a 3-14 season in your first year as head coach. As if play call, oh, the defensive play calling, that'll fix it, because that's his superpower. He's a superhero when it comes to the play call. All right, fine. It comes, it goes, whatever. Then yesterday at the scouting combine, an important day for the Jets, right? Got to build a defense. It would be a good day to kind of catch the linemen, the edge rushers, the linebackers. They also threw the kickers in there. That's kind of a weird grouping. Which one of these is not like the others? But I digress. And then the camera on NFL Network catches Aaron Glenn dozing off for a little second. Eyes were getting a little, whew, you know, and it happens. I get it. But not while I'm at work. Not while I'm supposed to be doing my job. So apparently calling plays is his superpower, but watching the scouting combine is his kryptonite. Because he just couldn't keep those eyes open. And it's just the latest example. Forget about the Jets embarrassing themselves. I would think at this point, if you're part of the Jet fan base, you're tired of them embarrassing you. They're an extension of you. They keep doing things to embarrass you. The things that, you know, your buddies who are not Jet fans are going to bring up to you and talk about, oh, your coach is falling asleep watching the scouting combine. Like, come on. And you just start to wonder, like, does it ever end? It doesn't feel like it ever ends. It feels like with the Jets, it never ends. And it feels like with Aaron Glenn, not since George Costanza dressed up as a bodysuit man trying to get fired by the Yankees, has one person done more to sabotage his time with a professional sports organization. Again, the offseason, this is supposed to be the good times. This is supposed to be times where there's no more real negativity. Even at the draft, when you draft players, you get to hear all the good things about them, especially early on. And I know there's been some Jet fans online who are trying to make the case, and if you've not seen the clip, I'm sure you will, that Aaron Glenn was looking down at his tablet. Does he have one of those new tablets that's located inside his eyelids? Was he scanning his tablet for clips of talking to Sweeney Murdy about the Baltimore Orioles? Like, when does the negativity with the Jets finally stop? And I would think as a fan base, you have to be just exhausted. You have to just be beside yourself. Even when you have something good, like having 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and all this money, and the Jets made a trade yesterday. They trade away Jermaine Johnson for, is it Tavondre Stewart? I thought it was Devondre Stewart. Who knew? That first letter really comes out of nowhere. Tavondre Stewart. And it's kind of funny that the Jet fan is excited about, and rightfully so, because you're just looking for some sort of positives. Every time you think, well, it can't get any worse than this, it keeps getting worse somehow, against all odds. But it's kind of wild that the Jets, who apparently lack talent, right? That's why they went 3-14 this past season. Just didn't have any talent. It's a rebuilding situation. We knew it wasn't going to be turned around overnight. They don't have any talent, but they're able to trade away talent to bring in these assets. Other coaches, other teams, other organizations think the Jets have talent. And they're willing to give up things to get the Jets' talent, which the Jets were not able to really get anything out of. Couldn't get anything out of Sauce Gardner last year. Couldn't get anything out of Quinnen Williams last year. Didn't get anything out of Jermaine Johnson last year. So I know a lot of Jet fans might be feeling a little good about the trade. Okay, fine. We trade away Jermaine Johnson, who has not looked the same after the injury. You bring in this kid Stewart, who looks kind of impressive. I will say this. Maybe he will be impressive. Maybe when the games actually start, there'll be something positive as a Jet fan to take away from them. But as you're sitting here, I will say this about Tavondre Stewart, who I'm not going to pretend to tell you that I've watched all these Titan games or anything like that. I will say this. If the coaching does not improve over what you had this past season, it won't matter. Because what you can't say about the Jets is that they were coached well. It was just simply a talent issue. They were coached fine. It was just a talent issue that was the problem last year. It was a coaching issue too. It was everything last year. And it doesn't feel like things are going to get better anytime soon. And if you're Aaron Glenn going into an offseason, which you're already on the hot seat, you're on the hot seat after the first 7 games of your NFL head coaching career. I would say mind your P's and Q's here and make sure that you're all about business from this point forward. Because any continuation of year one into year two, you will not be around to see year three. And I'm not overly negative about the Jets situation overall. Look, I'm not expecting that next year is going to be all of a sudden some playoff season or 10 wins or anything like that. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Jets quarterback situation and finding the quarterback, because you probably want to draft a quarterback in 2027. And it's a tough thing to navigate, right? Like finding a stopgap in a year where there doesn't really feel like there's many good options there. There's only one clear-cut number one graded quarterback in the first round of the draft, and that's Fernando Mendoza, and you got the second pick. I will say this. It depends on who the Jets do get at quarterback, but whoever that quarterback is not coming into some sort of barren situation if we are looking at things on the same page. If you can go out and find just a reasonably decent quarterback, someone who can play the position at a reasonably decent level, the Jets should be able to score some points. Based on what we know right now, correct me where I'm wrong. The Jets have at least a decent offensive line, correct? They've invested a ton of resources on their offensive line. And again, we don't know what parts are going to, I don't know if AVT is going to be back, but you would think they're going to have a halfway decent offensive line. Okay. It certainly seems like they're bringing back Breece Hall by hook or by crook. It's like Hotel California for poor Breece Hall. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. So he's going to be back with the Jets next year. You got Garrett Wilson. You like Mason Taylor, the tight end. You've got some pieces on offense. Is it a complete picture? No. You gotta find, I'm sure, there's going to be some developments along the offensive line, despite the social media's teams putting out all five started every game. Yeah! That social media team, boy, they got their work cut out for themselves. Toughest job in all of New York sports, the New York Jets social media team. Those poor people, they are putting in the work. But if you can go out and find a halfway decent quarterback, it should not be anything like it was this past season. The reason it looked like that this past season is because you had no quarterback. Nothing at that position worked. Now, you got rid of the old offensive coordinator and Tanner Engstrand. You bring in Frank Reich, who certainly has plenty of coaching experience. I think that Frank Reich, in terms of an offensive coordinator, knows what he's doing. But now you have to go out and find a quarterback. And the names I brought up before, we can run this down from now until the draft or free agency or the start of the season. There is not a better option, at least of the ones we know right now, for the New York Jets than Kyler Murray. I've run down all the reasons already. The guy can play. He's 28 years old. When healthy, he puts up numbers. I get that he's injured quite a bit. Every guy that we're going to talk about has flaws. And the flaws on Kyler Murray are nowhere near the flaws on all the other options. So I keep hearing Kirk Cousins' name come up. And if the plan is to draft a guy this upcoming draft in 2026, they want to get Ty Simpson with the second first-round pick. Okay, fine. Then I think that Kirk Cousins might make a little bit of sense. I still don't like it as an option, but it's better that way. What the Jets really need is someone that can put up some sort of numbers in 2026, but also might be able to hang around in 2027, so whoever you do draft in the first round next year, you don't have to throw that guy to the Wolves. That's not Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is going to be 38 this season. Has anybody noticed Kirk Cousins over the last few years? In 2023, he got hurt. He played 8 games. In 2024, he was terrible. In his final 5 games, he threw 9 interceptions and 1 touchdown. And then last year, he was a backup and only really got back in there because Penix got hurt again. Oh, yeah, and he's 38 years old. If you're the Jets, if you're Aaron Glenn, and this is the perspective that I'm taking from the organization, you got to win some games, buddy. And Kirk Cousins is not the guy who's going to win you some games. Then the other day, the name that has come up some, Mac Jones, got brought up to the 49ers. And look, I don't really take too much into it that they said that there's going to have to be a strong offer for them to give up Mac Jones. What's a team supposed to say? Give us a 7th rounder, you can take him. We don't even like that guy. No, of course they're going to say it's a strong offer. But you're going to have to give up something for Mac Jones. And, you know, I think Mac Jones is a product of the Kyle Shanahan system. So if you don't have Kyle Shanahan, I don't feel quite so good about Mac Jones. But the desperation level of some in the media, and really it ties back to Jet fans. The names that are being brought up now, just to avoid Kyler Murray. Tanner McKee, the backup quarterback with the Philadelphia Eagles. First off, could you imagine what Howie Roseman must think when he hears that the Jets might be placing a call to him? The best executive, perhaps, in the entire NFL, and he has something that the Jets might be interested in? You think he might be getting ready to fleece them if they make that call? I would say to the Jets, if your phone rings and the caller ID says Howie Roseman, do not pick up the call. Just don't pick it up. You might not even agree to anything and found out you give up a third-round pick for nothing. Like, don't even, you are not good enough to take that call. I've heard the name Tyson Bagent, the backup quarterback with the Chicago. I mean, what are we doing? What is the goal that you are trying to accomplish when you bring in a new quarterback? I think it is to kind of hold the fort until 2027. Get me to 2027 as fast as you can. So unless Tyson Bagent has a time machine that can speed up time, or he's like Superman when he spun around the earth and it made it go backwards, but instead this time he made it go forwards, I don't believe Tyson Bagent has that ability. But those two guys, that's an example of what are you talking about? Because those two guys are development prospects. Nobody knows whether those guys are any good at all, especially the Jets. Like, what do you think is the realistic chance of Tanner McKee, backup quarterback to the Eagles, coming to the Jets, getting thrown into this situation and excelling? Really? Do you think that would be a good possibility that would happen? I think there's a better chance I win Powerball twice in a row than that happening. Same goes for Tyson Bagent. And I'm not saying that those guys can't be successful somewhere, but this is like the ultimate death match here coming into the Jets. You need somebody who you know can play from the first day, from the first time he swipes his card at the door of the practice facility. You know the guy can play. And neither of those guys can you say that about, and neither of those guys, would you trust the Jets to develop either of those guys? Because again, what you're saying is you're taking those guys this year, you're giving up assets for either of those guys, and it might not be a great asset, but still, let's say it's a fourth-round pick. Let's just put the price tag on all those guys as a fourth-round pick. Bagent, McKee, and Kyler Murray. You're bringing those guys, you're giving them 1 year to prove themselves before you go out. They're not the long-term solutions, right? You want them to be the short-term solution. Guys who have really not played or had any real level of success in the NFL. But yet, the Jetway is going to spell that success. Didn't we try that last year with Justin Fields? Isn't that just what we did last year? I'm pretty sure it is. And how did that go? Was Justin Fields a better version of Justin Fields? Or was Justin Fields the worst version of Justin Fields? I think we know the answer to that. So even in an offseason, which it's supposed to be about optimism, right? It's supposed to be, hey, this is the time as a Jet fan, you might feel good about things. Draft picks, cap space, maybe some talent acquired in the car. Maybe, possibly. The Jets just cannot get out of their own way. They cannot get out of their own way. And it just feels like more of the same. 888-808-1019, the telephone number, 888-808-1019. Coming up, we'll get your phone calls in on the Jets. We'll hit on the Giants as well. Lots to talk about there. Some mock drafts out. We got a lot of sports to do tonight. We'll have a lot of fun tonight as we take you up until 5 o'clock. And the warm-up show, just getting started. It is Gordon Damer, your overnight oasis, right here on The Fan.